Lowe's knows how to turn big plans into real results. Whether it's new appliances or a home refresh, get started with 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with a My Lowe's Rewards credit card, January 15th through the 30th. So you can invest in your upgrade now and pay over time. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payment required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I'm Rob Williams. He is Craig McMichael, and we are proudly brought to you by Hewitt Domodoro's Law, HDLawSC.com. Not just personal injury, but so many other things. And first and foremost, I'll say that relationships are at the forefront with Brad and Dean, and so they'll get to know you. You're not a number. You're not another case in the stack, and they've won tens of millions of dollars for their clients over the years. So make sure that you call them. Or just go simply to hdlawsc.com for your needs. All right, Craig.
I have a question.
It's week 9. Hit me with your question.
Do you think Dean could help with a buyout if you were working, say, just north of New Orleans?
I think that if it's definitely something he may be interested in, because I would imagine that there's a hefty connector to that attorney fee, right? Contingent on whatever that buyout is. We, I think, probably have the carousel up and rolling again tonight. We are going to have some fun here. But before we get into it, I would like to say hello to so many people who are already pouring in to listen to what is going on tonight. We are anticipating news out of Baton Rouge. And there's always things that Joy and I get wrong. But this week, there's something that we got right. Okay, so if you're here with us, we're going to flip back to Friday, where Daily Joy and I were on the SEC Pretty Campus tour on location. Craig was supposed to cover for me this week in the interview, and we're not really sure what happened. I was
sick.
Something else. Joy was in Baton Rouge, and she had some interesting things to say on Friday that have foreshadowed over the course of this weekend. So check this out for just a moment. We'll be back in a minute to react to where we got it right and some places where we got it wrong. Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I am Rob Williams, and of course, Daily Joy is here with us. Joy, let us know where you're at, and then we'll get back to where I am, and then maybe at some point we'll try to find Craig, who is supposed to join us this week for the SEC Pretty Campus Tour. Where are you?
I'm in Baton Rouge, beautiful Baton Rouge, if you can't tell. You know what, Rob, I'm just here to have a good time. I'm just here to have a good time, enjoy the tailgates and the food. I'm trying to live my life the way you're living your life, apparently, right now on a boat.
Yeah, so we're having a pretty good day out here on the boat. Not really a bad day when you have the sun and you have the water. I'll just kind of pan around here where we can get it behind us, see what we can get coming in. But, you know,
life's tough.
we're having a great time. Life is tough. We'll give a shout out to the captain here. So tell me about Baton Rouge. What is the vibe? I know we've talked a little bit off the air, but we also, I think, big picture, have talked a lot of hot seat on this show in the past couple of weeks. We got Craig has his carousel out. We're talking about coaches moving, and one that has kind of entered the chat is maybe Brian Kelly. What has to happen to make for a move to actually happen in Baton Rouge?
He's got to lose tomorrow, which is really painful if you're an LSU fan, because you never root for your team to lose. Like, I will never actively cheer against LSU, but I am actively cheering for Brian Kelly to move on. And so that is the kind of the puppeteer show that we're all kind of playing. I think everyone here is really over his tenure. I don't think anyone here really believes in him anymore. From what I've heard from inside sources, I think that's the case from inside and outside the locker room. So yeah, I think a loss tomorrow and a substantial loss, I think A&M could really hand you a substantial loss on your home field on a Saturday night, would make Scott Woodward make some moves pretty quickly, I think.
Is there an ending record that you think really makes a move here? Or is it really about how you lose the games that you lose? Like, is it a clear cut 7-5, or is it a thing where you kind of have to say, you know, he's got to get blown out in a couple of games? Or what if they're all close games, he just can't close them out? What if there's more injuries that cause that? You know, what is it for you? Is there a clear line or no?
I don't know if there's a clear line for me, if I'm being honest with you. I think you, like, we came into this season so buying what Brian Kelly was selling, and now it's just, there is nothing to be done. It's atrocious. So we're kind of at a standstill with him. I don't know that there's a clear-cut line. I just think, I think his time's up. It's just a matter of how it looks at the end of it.
Overall, Joy, if you have to look at it right now and look at the state of the SEC, how do you feel like it compares to the rest of the country? How does it compare to the Big Ten, for instance? We know how it compares to some other conferences, but when we look across it, you can kind of see this narrative all year that there has not been a clear-cut elite team in the SEC, and I think that's used as a shot against the league. But how do you see it stacking up from a depth perspective? And really, the tag of that question is getting close to that first college football playoff ranking. How many teams do we expect?
Yeah, I understand your point. I do understand, like, you see week one Alabama go down. So then immediately the narrative is like, okay, they're not going to be as good. And then that Alabama team beats a Georgia team who over the last few years has been consistently at the top of the SEC. I would still argue, I think you can still argue that Alabama and Georgia both belong in the college football playoff. I think they're two very clear-cut, two of the best teams in the country. I think Ohio State, if I'm being really honest with you, is the best team we've seen so far all year. I think they're the best team in college football. I would go to war with that. I understand that everyone's really big on Indiana. They beat Oregon. Now everyone's riding the Indiana train. I think Kurt Cignetti getting that massive contract, obviously, is a big topic of discussion. Indiana's one of those teams, like, it goes back to, like, okay, was Alabama really just not prepared week one, and now that we're seeing them be really good, like, is Alabama way better than we thought they were? Maybe Oregon wasn't as good as we thought they were, and so if that's the case, is Indiana really that good? There's all of these conversations to be had, and I think the thing about the SEC that we don't talk about enough is that the reason that we are still going to ride Alabama and Georgia until the wheels fall off is because of who they have to play week in and week out. That's not the case for Oregon. It's not the case for Indiana. And it's not the case for Ohio State. I think Ohio State's the most complete team in college football. I think I've seen enough of them playing on the field to know that. But the idea that the top of the SEC can't compete with the rest of the Big Ten is a little asinine to me. I think Tennessee could still hold on. I think Ole Miss could still hold on. I think Ole Miss wins this weekend at Oklahoma. And so, yeah, I still think the top of the SEC is going to take a good amount of playoff spots heading into the first week of rankings.
All right, one more thing before we get out of here. You have been on this campus tour this year and major way around many of the stadiums in the SEC. We know the reputation of Death Valley at night. Okay, what? Give me an argument for why it's the best environment, not just in the SEC, but in all of college football. Because, you know, you do have a good perspective, but and you do have some bias. But talking to players former players, there's a handful of schools and environments that you get. Neyland is definitely in the discussion that I hear. Kyle Field is in the discussion that I hear. Some of these bigger arenas, as you put it last week, in opposition to Vanderbilt, these massive arenas that SEC teams play in week in and week out. Why is going to play LSU at night the hardest thing to do in the SEC?
Because we do not care. We don't care about you. We don't care about your feelings. We don't care about how much alcohol we've drank that day. And I think that's the difference. Everyone else kind of really still like is aware of what they're doing. And I mean, when the greatest coach in college football, in Nick Saban, says he walks on the field as the Alabama head coach and he can smell the bourbon and it's 4.5 hours before kickoff. I mean, we're the most inebriated fan base by a mile. Like, it's not even close. And because of that, we just don't care. We don't care about hurting your feelings. We will say whatever we need to say to get in your head. I mean, this is the fan base that when we played Tim Tebow, got his phone number and blew his phone up and he had to change his phone number. Like, we don't care. I'm not saying that's always the best thing about us, but we don't care about hurting your feelings, and we don't care about being the most extreme, most toxic.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The most intimidating place that you'll walk in week in and week out. And there's something about Tiger Stadium at night. Magic happens. I mean, there's a reason that A&M hasn't beat us in Tiger Stadium since they joined the SEC. And that was always, that was a funny thing about last week, was like everyone compares Diego Pavia to Johnny Manziel. LSU was the only school that never lost to Johnny Manziel. And he had to come in Death Valley and he couldn't take care of business. It's the most toxic environment in college football. And I think that's what makes it the best.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's the best environment in college football, according to Daily Joy, here with our SEC Pretty Campus Tour. Congrats, Joy, on all of the continued success. We will continue to pump it up. And some special things right here on SEC Sunday night coming up involving SEC Pretty. So get ready for that, and we'll fill you in on that later. If you're watching this on Sunday night, keep in mind that this is Friday, and what you're about to see is an opportunity for us to talk about where Joy and I messed it up. All right, for the I Was Wrong segment. Joy, have a great weekend. Enjoy Death Valley.
Yeah, you too, Rob. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, we'll do it.
ATC is go.
Thank you. Go.
ATC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
FTM is go.
Safety comp is go.
FTU is go.
LRD is go.
FRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
It's SEC Sunday night, presented by Hewitt Diamandouros. Visit hdlawsc.com. It's go time.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night here live on the Chief Sports Network. Man, Craig, Joy and I teed it up better this week, I think, than ever in the past. And there's always an I Was Wrong segment, and I'll call her out because she loves to call me out when I'm on the I Was Wrong segment.
Yeah.
The rant about it, Death Valley being the greatest night environment, didn't exactly hold up on Saturday night with what Texas A&M came in and did.
Right.
But her prediction of getting blown out, leading to Brian Kelly, getting the boot out of the boot state.
Do you have the Nakos tweet? Like literally during the Joy segment. So Pete Nakos from On3 12 minutes ago. So probably right at the start. A team meeting has been called at LSU for 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. East for you other people. 3 minutes ago, On3 officially broke the news. LSU has fired Brian Kelly. So there you have
it,
Dean.
Ladies and gents, we are here to live react, as we've anticipated all day,
yes,
that Brian Kelly's time in Baton Rouge would be finished. And what a story we have on our hands. It has just unfolded over the past few weeks. Craig, shout out to you, my friend, for predicting this was going to happen a couple of weeks ago, seeing the slide just happen so rapidly. First, we have James Franklin, who goes from top five to fired in a matter of weeks. Billy Napier is out in Florida. Sam Pittman, kind of quietly in the SEC there, is gone as well. You got other jobs across the country. UCLA is open, and you predicted that maybe BK would try to jump out of there and take one of these other jobs beforehand, but his LSU Tigers did not perform well enough to give him that opportunity, as he is out in Baton Rouge. LSU, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I got to give a shout out, because we don't ever want to say that we are the insiders, but we get a lot of information, but we also aggregate a lot of information. You and I are always sharing information, getting stuff. I want to shout out Matt Zenitz, John Talty, and Chris Hummer from CBS Sports, who basically gave us the timeline of what happened today. Basically, this morning, Brian Kelly comes in at 8:30. He's got his coffee. He's got his beignets. And he's thinking about, he's got to evaluate the staff. You know, we saw him last night complaining about the offensive coordinator, maybe Brett Baker, and that defense giving up 35 straight points in the second half wasn't good enough. And what I think BK was hoping for when he came in today, he got a reset in 2016 at Notre Dame. He basically blew out his entire staff, revamped it, and was able to take Notre Dame back up to a national championship level. Well, this is an independent football, brother. This is the SEC. Because here's how it changed. Later that morning, early afternoon, he has a conversation with Scott Woodward, the athletic director, who gave him all of this money, who brought him in from Notre Dame. And that apparently went south so badly so that a couple hours ago, Notre Dame staffers and coaches were sent home and basically said, hey, there's something going on. There's something happening here. So, you know, like I say, it's a beautiful thing that we're on right now, but we're able to bring all this information because we're here kind of aggregating. And so I want to give a shout out to Pete Nakos. I want to give a shout out to all these folks, you know, putting it out there, giving us the timeline, because it's going to be $53.5 million now that LSU is going to owe Brian Kelly. Now, here's the key. If Brian Kelly goes and gets the Florida job, goes and gets UCLA like I talked about last week, sorry, Tony, goes and gets that Penn State job, that salary will be mitigated. But now the carousel has gone from crazy to Mardi Gras at 2 a.m., I think it's gone absolutely nuts.
Let me ask you this question, and maybe I can bring some friends in here too as we ask this question, because we have lots of things planned tonight, but obviously Brian Kelly getting fired throws things off. And so we'll go ahead. Maggie Johnson is here with us from Mizzou. That's who. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened in Nashville, but let's get her in here as we're reacting. And, of course, we're going to go ahead and pull in early here and see if Casey's got the internet working in his mom's basement this week, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with him as well. All right, guys, is LSU automatically the number one job no matter what's open?
Yes.
Are we?
And I don't see how anybody says no. I don't see how anybody says no to that job.
Well, let's let Casey respond, because if anyone's going to say no, it's going to be Casey.
No, I was just going to say no just to be contrarian to you guys. But no, I think it is absolutely the number one job. I mean, I think you could probably argue. You may be able to argue Florida, but, I mean, there's no in-state rival in Louisiana, right? That
absolutely.
You are it. So recruiting is shooting fish in a barrel, unless your name's Travis Etienne.
Or Brian.
Yeah, Bush. I mean – I think that they recruited just fine. It was a matter of actually getting to execute on the field that turned into the problem. You know, as you kind of look at it, you can break down a few different issues here. And shout out to our friend Drew, in the chat over here who says, "By God, is that Urban Meyer's music?" We've got to talk about the list of coaches that are available, not available. Does LSU have enough weight to pull somebody that we didn't think was available? Do we have any names flying off immediately? Casey, get MBG on the line, because I mean the boards have to be going insane right now.
he had one this week. I think he said, you know, and this is a question, you know, Andy Staples had it on both his On Three podcast and on the College Football Inquiry this morning. He talked about that this decision is going to impact not only Brian Kelly, but also Scott Woodward. So, like, that Scott Woodward has given a lot of people a lot of money. He's done some good things. He bought in Chris Peterson. And, you know, he bought in Jimbo Fisher, gave him all that money. And, you know, Brian Kelly, he brings in Brian Kelly. But when you make that big of a mistake, yes, he bought in Jay Johnson, and he bought in Aunt Pam. Is it Pam? No, what's the women's basketball coach?
Sir.
What's her name? What's the LSU woman's basketball coach?
This is on the South Carolina fan.
You're talking about Kim Mulkey right now?
Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, Kim Mulkey and Kim. So he brings them both.
The trailer park, right on cue. Welcome, Joy. We're talking about Kim Mulkey.
Finally. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi. How are you, Joy? Anything going on in your world?
You know, it's been such a quiet evening. I just don't know what on earth I'm going to talk about.
Joy is donating. She's donating to this buyout, by the way.
Guys, I'm so happy. I'm the happiest person on earth.
She can afford it.
Right. Were you happier tonight, right now, or were you happier when you were on Bourbon Street on Friday night? Where are we at?
Right.
Ooh, yeah, that guy's pumped her.
Probably right now, but I think
this is the question, though. Is Scott Woodward going to be the person that is going to make the hire? You saw LSU has a problem right now. They have no full-time president. The governor has gotten involved here. So you almost wonder, is it going to be a full athletic department cleaning house? And does that also reset the time clock, too, for who that candidate could be?
I don't think it's a full athletic department clean out, but I do. Yeah. I think the governor and the boosters are both pretty annoyed with how this whole thing panned out. I think they probably initially told him, like, do not do Jimbo 2.0. And that's literally exactly what he did. So I think that there is a lack of trust in Woodward to go make another hire. I think he'll be involved at some level, but I think he's going to have a lot more people to answer to this go round when he goes to hire somebody.
So maybe something like what Bubba Cunningham at UNC had to deal with getting Bill Belichick, or we've seen at Virginia Tech where the AD basically is kind of a consultant but isn't going to be that final decision maker.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what you're more looking at. Obviously, like, Scott Woodward is not a bad athletic director, but he likes to hunt big names. And we've now seen twice where that's not worked out in his favor at the universities that he's working at. And the reality is we are going to pay this buyout at some level. I don't believe he's going to get the entire amount of money that he's owed for a couple of different reasons. One of which is there was a major clause in his contract broken that no one knows about. And I'm sure that got brought up in these negotiations. But in no way, shape, or form do we have the kind of money that A&M has. Like, they could, if they got in a Jimbo 2.0 situation, they can afford that buyout. I mean, we saw last year or 2 years ago when they fired Jimbo, they got one donation check at halftime of the game that covered his entire buyout. LSU doesn't have that kind of money. We don't have those kind of boosters. This can't happen again. And so there's going to be a lot more people involved when it comes to hiring a new coach.
Go ahead, Rob. No,
you got it. Go ahead.
So, but I think, like, the Jimbo Fisher, like, you look at it, and I'm going to be the first one to say that I was wrong. I've given Mike Elko and the Texas A&M Aggies a lot of crap on here. And I've shown them quite a bit of disrespect. And Elko and the Aggies have shown me that they don't care about my opinion or anyone else's opinion.
Okay, but I quick think poll that, really quick. Quick poll really quick. Pause Craig's segment. How many, show of hands, who thinks Texas A&M is the best team in the SEC right now?
Probably.
Oh. Wow. That's great. That's great streaming. Great radio, guys. Not a lot of it. You got one for KC girls.
It's just hard. It's hard when I don't.
I just
think
wanted
that,
to.
People say this about like Mizzou schedule, about it being like easier, whatever. But A&M schedule is actually the, probably the easiest schedule in the SEC.
They had to play Notre Dame. Come on, they had to play at Notre Dame in South Bend.
Okay, but this is a different Notre Dame team than last year's
Notre Dame.
As someone
who went to
Notre
Dame this year, not impressive.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think the fact that they get to avoid Georgia, they get to afford Alabama or avoid Alabama. Obviously, they have us in 2 weeks, but I don't know what that looks like in this situation now because, you know, we had a very rough day yesterday. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I think I'll know better after I see them in person, but I don't think right now that they are even the number three team in the country.
Wow.
I think that's. I don't
Shots
know.
Fired.
Wow. All righty, Maggie.
I like
Joey. We know that you're not. We know that you're not going to give Texas A&M any vote of confidence. But do you have anything positive to say?
No, I would give them a vote of confidence. I mean, it's like you came in there and bullied the crap out of LSU at their home field. Like that's something that like legitimately not many people have been able to do, even under the Brian Kelly
people,
tenure,
including you.
Yeah, I mean, including like it's. Brian Kelly until last night was 20-1 in night games at Tiger Stadium. Like the only other team that had ever beat them was Alabama there. So being able to do that was insanely impressive. I think Marcel Reed is a phenomenal quarterback. The story, and I'll give them credit, and it was a big story last night. If you watched the game, they wore us out so much physically, which was so ironic considering Brian Kelly spent all week talking about how physical we were going to play. Now he's physically leaving the state, thank God. But watching that strength and conditioning coach on the sidelines last night, Tommy Moffitt, who had been at LSU for 30 years, who had built a strength and conditioning program that was second to absolutely none. And one of the first things Brian Kelly did when he walked in that building was fire Tommy Moffitt. I tailgated yesterday with Tommy Moffitt's son, and he was like, this is so insanely personal for them. And I think that like, sometimes we don't think necessarily about like strength and conditioning coaches taking on like that kind of intention in a game. But those players knew what that game meant to Tommy Moffitt, and they went to war for Tommy Moffitt personally. And it completely and totally paid dividends. I think a team that is willing to do that, that's willing to go to war for their coaches, something LSU would never have done for Brian Kelly because no one wants to work for him and no one wants to play for him. I think that speaks volumes of the program that Mike Elko has built at College Station. I think there's a reason Mike Elko's name is coming up for some other jobs. I completely understand that. I have zero issue giving credit where it's due, and A&M deserves every ounce of credit for how they showed up last night and bullied the hell out of LSU.
Who are you? What have you done with Joy?
Yeah.
Marcel Reed. I'm a business owner now, Casey.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Marcel Reed talked about on Thursday, Moffitt brought out a tackling dummy with BK's face on it to practice and fired everybody up.
I personally would like to borrow. Can I borrow? Because yeah, I course. Have some anger I would also like to get out.
You know, I do think we have a solution though to Joy and LSU's problem though. We'll go to the boards from I Got It.
Oh,
let's
Jesus
bring in
Christ.
Nick Saban for athletic director and Lane Kiffin for the head coach. I mean, what could go wrong? You have the GOAT as athletic director. Miss Terry, I'm sure, would enjoy looking at the real estate. He could probably still do game day. We could make that work. And then you've got the lane train, so that automatically fixes your offense. What could go wrong?
I mean, isn't Saban already going to Penn State? Isn't he already going to Penn State? Didn't we hear?
That's drink. That's drink. Drink.
We'll get there. We'll get there, Rob.
Kip is not going to Penn State.
We're going to cover that in just a minute. I've got to hit a commercial break, and then we can get to this whole where's everybody going. But
okay. I think going to four different schools. So I think he's
trolling, if we're being honest. I think he's trolling, and I think he trolled all the way through. And I've listened to so many Florida fans say that he's coming to Gainesville, and I don't believe it for one second. He has trolled the entire time. They're so bought in. And I don't think he's coming. The whole thing, even fans of other schools, as soon as the report came out, oh, he's talking to his players, they're like, oh, he's gone. He's gone. I was like, no, guys, he leaked that on purpose because he's freaking Lane Kiffin. That's what he does. Of course they let that story out there. Are you kidding me?
Well, what did I say 3 weeks ago on the show? What did I say 3 weeks ago? Landry Kiffin was dating Whit Weeks. That was Miss Terry looking for real estate in Austin. That is Landry just doing her research, checking out Baton Rouge for the family, making sure that the family is going to be all set when they move from Oxford to LSU. I do think LSU is more of a threat than Gainesville for Lane. I have a hard time seeing Lane leave, but I do think LSU, given the recruiting advantages there, also being close to the water there, I do think that that would make him think at least once or twice about it.
I agree with you. If I'm being honest, I don't have a ton of stake in the Lane to LSU pipeline. And simply, if I'm just being honest, I think if we all have know this, I'm almost numb to the Lane to anywhere conversation because this feels like every time a job comes open, it's Lane is the first name. And also, like, to be totally honest, I'm not incredibly entirely sure where that comes from. Like, we're talking about a guy who has blown it every time he's had a chance to make the playoffs. Now, this year, it does look like they're going to make it, and this does look like the team for him. I'm not saying that about them this year, but I am saying, like, historically speaking, if you look at Lane, I'm not entirely sure outside of just the fact that he is someone that's really easy to, like, envision as your head coach. It's easy to envision getting behind him, and what he's done at Ole Miss is impressive, but we're sitting here going, okay, Lane to LSU, and in the same conversation saying, okay, well, now that LSU's job is open, it's the number one job in the country because you should be able to compete year in and year out for national championships. Okay, so why is the immediate name someone who is had to compete and not
who
yet?
Who is that name, Joy? Okay, outside of Lane Kiffin, because Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was that name.
Do not know. Brian Kelly was not on my radar and obviously shouldn't have been on Scott Woodward's either. But I don't have like a specific person in my mind. I do have some criteria I would really want from them. I care a lot less. I understand that there's this whole conversation about a culture fit. It's culture fit. Okay, shove that up here. You know what? I don't really give a crap about a culture fit. What I do care about is someone who is willing to come in and say, if I'm not from there, now if we get a Louisiana guy, that's a completely different story. But if I'm not from here, that's fine. But I know that this fan base and the state that supports this university are this way. And if I'm not that person, I am willing to embrace it. The problem with Brian Kelly was he didn't even try to get to know the state. He didn't try to get to know the fans. He didn't try to get to know the culture. He had some dumb fake accent, sounded like a moron, and that was it. Like, that was his best attempt, and it's been 4 years later, and all he's done is do nothing but embarrass us. So I don't really care.
Billy Napier was successful.
At University of Louisiana Lafayette, which is the kind of division he needs to stay in. He's not built for the SEC. Fair enough.
I had to bring it up. He's available.
All right. I love the passion and the fire. We are going to hit a timeout really quick so we stay sort of kind of a little bit on the rails. And when we get back, I want to hear from Maggie about what happened in Nashville this weekend. This is SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team! This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here each and every week presented proudly by Hewitt Diamandouros Law, hdlawsc.com. We have a host of friends with us tonight as Brian Kelly has been fired in Baton Rouge, but that is not the only thing happening in the SEC. It was a loaded day yesterday. Lots of close calls, one of which happened in Nashville, Tennessee. Maggie Johnson is with us to talk about what happened with her Missouri Tigers and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Kind of a slugfest of a game, Maggie. I went back and watched clips today, and it's funny, you know, some games, obviously the Texas and Mississippi State game had the most clips because they went into that overtime period. But outside of that, there were lots of games where we had clips of 40 to 45 plays. 22 key plays clipped for me in the Vanderbilt-Missouri game. It's kind of a slugfest. Not a lot happened.
Some of us watched the game, Rob. We didn't watch clips. I got you, Maggie. Well,
some of us were in a stadium, Craig. We can't watch another game.
Don't throw facts out here to get, you know, skew your argument. I watched the game. Right.
I was also in the stadium, so I haven't watched the clip since, you know, I watched it live, and it's like, why do you do that to yourself? Like, rewatch that relatively boring game, right? I would say both defenses played very well. The issue was just, and which has been an issue, I think, since the beginning of 2024, is I think it's our offensive play calling. To be honest with you, I think Kirby Moore is a big issue on this team. And I hate to say that because of what he did in 2023 was so great. But, like, he made some pivotal mistakes that I wouldn't have made. And obviously, I don't get paid the money to do what he did. But, you know, you have a player like Ahmad Hardy, and you're not giving them the ball on the third and two or third and goal. And then on the same fourth and one, you give the ball to Bo Prabula. And that's obviously the play that he went out and he got hurt on. I just think that there were a lot of mistakes from the higher ups in this game. And it's unfortunate because I do think that the team kind of did the best that they could do with what they had. Obviously they also lost Brett Norfleet in that game. They lost Prabula. They're already playing with a kicker that you can't trust. He missed the 29-yard field goal, so you can't trust him to make these kicks. I think what they did, like, statistically, I mean, if you were voting for Diego Pavia to win the Heisman and then you watch this game, I don't understand how you can do it. They kept Diego Pavia in complete check. He had 8 carries for 20 yards. He went 10 of 19 for 129 yards and one interception. They really made one play all day. And that was an 80-yard touchdown that probably should have been negated due to some holding. So I don't know. It's rough because you're on that losing side of it. But I've also been on the winning side of a lot of those one-score games in the past 2 years. You're bound to lose a couple, and it just sucks. It came down to 5 inches, really.
So if you look at the glass half full of that, though, right? You get your second starting quarterback of the year knocked out for the year. And yeah, you don't have you don't have a kicker you can trust, yet you were still there. I mean, to me, I saw two teams that are looking at the fourth through the fifth spot in the college football playoff. And I mean that with all respect. And like, that to me was a knockout game. I had put that in my Last Word article, that this was kind of like one of those early CFP games. So it's like you're close, but it's, you know, I still think the fact that it was still a one-score game despite those injuries, despite the kicker having the yips, that they still played very well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think we struggle, and like I said, as we have in the past couple of years, of when the field gets small, we can't convert in the red zone. It's been a massive problem. The difference is in 2023, we had Harrison Mevis, who could make a 62-yard field goal against K-State and who could make that game-winning field goal against Florida. Like, you had that. And I've said in my podcast multiple times this year that there are going to be games that are going to come down to needing a field goal. And obviously we lost 17-10. So the scoreboard doesn't look like it, but when you miss that kick, you're changing all of that momentum. That momentum changed when he missed that field goal. Drink even mentioned that in the press conference. So yeah, you're just missing those specialized things, and just proves how important special teams are. I think our special teams coach should have been gone like 4 years ago. I don't know why you're having your kicker make a tackle against Central Arkansas up 40 in the third quarter. I think your kicker should know not to go for that, but instead one of the best kickers in the country, you know, tears his ACL. You're stuck with a true freshman kicking, and you just get yourself into an issue that is so beyond what you can control.
If it makes you feel any better, Stark in Texas stuck in the red zone too. So just to let you know.
This is true. What's the confidence level in Zoller's moving forward? You're on your third quarterback and you're trying to salvage what's left of the season. Mathematically, Craig is incorrect. You're not eliminated from the playoff. I think a lot of people have that same perspective, that this was kind of a knockout because of what may be left ahead of you. But mathematically, you could still win out and have a pretty good argument. And there's just so many moving parts in the SEC that we're unsure of, and moving parts around the rest of the country that are going to determine how many SEC teams are going to get in. And we're going to continue to debate that. And, you know, this is almost an all SEC panel. I'll be curious in a few minutes to get Casey's thoughts on how many ACC schools are actually going to make it into the field, because I think that does play a big factor. And put the cup down. It does.
Sorry, thirsty.
And how many SEC schools are going to get in, and then that kind of what happens in the Big Ten, the Big 12, obviously, as well. My question is, what is the morale around Missouri in terms of finishing the rest of the season now with, you know, Pergula maybe making it back if you make a run at the end?
Yeah, I think the only way he's back is if we're in a playoff spot. So I think it's on Matt Zoller's. It's Matt Zoller's team now, and I'm going to be honest with you. I think based on kind of what we saw and the way that he was able to perform, because he actually, our offense got better when Zollers came into the game. It truly did. I also heard a lot of talk before the season started. You know, you heard about it. Everyone was like, you guys don't have a quarterback. It's Horn and Prabula. There was actually a lot of talk behind the scenes that it wasn't Horn and Prabula, that it was Prabula and Matt Zollers. Matt Zollers is a very, very good football player. He was a very, very good recruit. I think that we are now witnessing the beginning of the Matt Zollers era at Mizzou. Prabula technically has a year left, but I think that Zollers can come in and play well enough to kind of catapult his career. And I think that Prabula is possibly going to be gone. I think he could go back to Penn State, to be honest with you. That's the team that he loves. They're going to have a quarterback opening. You've heard rumblings about it anyways. I think that we're in the Matt Zollers era of Mizzou football. I don't know how confident I feel. I picked us going 8-4, 9-3. That's about like what I picked us at the beginning of the season. I don't remember which one I did on the show. I know these boys over here picked us going 6-6, which is still a possibility at this point. It is a possibility at this point. Yeah, there is a chance.
Not me, Maggie. Not me.
I think you kind of mentioned like
you're 5-7, Casey.
Casey,
that's not
you
true.
Kind of every year you see teams that lose a game that they're not supposed to lose. I don't know if we've seen a massive one of those yet in the SEC. I think that Texas A&M could be due for one. Alabama keeps pulling it out, but I think that if we're going to make that splash, it has to be against A&M. Otherwise, I think it's just going to go all downhill from there.
If you flip it in the other direction, what did you see out of Vanderbilt that gives you any confidence? You know, you kind of mentioned not voting for Diego Pavia for the Heisman, but if we talk about this as a potential college football playoff knockout game. I'll just give it to everybody really quickly so we can – so we know what we're working with. Vanderbilt has remaining on the schedule.
They're toast next week at Texas.
Texas, Auburn, bye week, Kentucky at Tennessee.
Yeah, they're toast next week at Texas.
I just didn't – I honestly – I think that they're a gritty team. I think that they are what I saw at Mizzou was in 2023 in terms of their, you know, tenacity and their ability to finish games. But I really didn't see a lot against, and Mizzou's defense is very good. Mizzou's defense is very, very good. But I mean, everything that they did in this game was opposite of what they needed to do to win, and they still pulled it out. I don't know if they go up against a defense like Texas, which is pretty good as well, that will happen over and over again. They're going to end up in a situation. They should have lost this game like they lost to Alabama because of the things that they didn't do. They lost the possession battle to Alabama. They couldn't convert on third downs to Alabama. That's why they lost the game. They didn't do that stuff against us, and they still won the game. I don't think that that's going to happen every time if they keep playing the way that they played against Missouri.
Okay, so if they lose to Texas, can they beat Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee?
No, they won't beat Tennessee either.
That'd be a two loss. Then you're a two loss Vanderbilt, and then do you get in? I'm just saying.
I think a two loss Vanderbilt gets in, just like a one loss Indiana team got in last year. But
yeah.
I don't know if I see them having a lot of success in the playoffs.
Sure, but what a story it would be if they just make it to the playoffs, right? Then I think we get.
I heard all about the Cinderella story. All I need, more than I needed to hear this weekend. Okay, that's all I heard. It's all I felt in the stadium. I get it.
Well, we're going to get into this conversation about the coaching carousel, but before we get there, just really quickly, let's run out some scores really quick. This is Craig's favorite time in the show to let everybody know what happened yesterday. Ole Miss defeats Oklahoma 34-26. Auburn pulls it out 33-24 over Arkansas.
One offensive touchdown for Brother Hugh. One offensive touchdown. You score 33 points and you score one offensive touchdown. Auburn is back, baby.
Taylen Green with three picks, and that pretty much tells the story. Alabama late 29-22 over South Carolina in Columbia. We just talked about Vanderbilt 17-10 over Missouri. Texas, Texas fight. 45-38 in overtime over Mississippi State. I thought they were dead in the water. Texas A&M, obviously, as we previously said, 49-25 over LSU, ending the Brian Kelly era in Baton Rouge. And then the team we just mentioned, Tennessee over Kentucky, 56-34. Those are the results from yesterday in the SEC for anybody who's under a rock and missed something, or if you just missed out on Tennessee-Kentucky because you weren't paying attention to that one.
Real quick on the Auburn one. So
yes, that's why I brought them all up so we can discuss them all.
Jackson Arnold era might be over in Auburn. He might be. Water he is might wet. Be done. Right, I know, but I'm just saying
he didn't start, right?
No, he started. He also threw a pick six, but then he got pulled. So maybe Hugh might be figuring it out. I doubt it. You know, but
I think they have a bigger problem. Hugh Freeze. Well, they're going to get rid of that problem.
Oh, great. They're going to coaching carousel with Florida, who's like their twin, and then LSU, who's like their big brother. Good luck. Good luck, Auburn.
Billy Napier to Auburn. Yeah, it's going to be a
really interesting offseason. Confirmed.
That would be perfect.
Billy Napier to Auburn, confirmed.
Wait, do you guys think anybody in the SEC, like, that has been fired from the SEC is going to go to another SEC school? Or you think they're all like
– I think James Franklin is going to get one of these jobs. I really do. I was joking with James Franklin to Florida last week. I with now LSU open and soon to be Auburn, I think James Franklin gets one either Auburn or Florida.
I could see him getting Auburn. I feel like James Franklin is very Auburn coded. I don't think he would take I don't think he goes to Florida, but he would fit really well at Auburn.
I think so too. I don't know why, but he does.
He just gives a good on the plains vibe.
What about
I think would be good at Auburn?
Don't do it.
Drink.
I knew you were gonna say drink it.
Drink would be perfect at Auburn. I think
no, y'all have to remember Petty is Drink is so petty. He is like
exactly petty. That's why he's perfect for Auburn. That's why he is perfect. He is the little brother in the state of Alabama. He's the little brother to Georgia in the Deep South oldest rivalry. Drink would embrace the fact that he is that chip on the shoulder. And
they have fired like all of his mentors. They fired like 4 or 5 people that are on Mizzou's staff right now. I don't know if he has that good of a taste in his mouth for Auburn. I will be completely honest.
To quote Shane Beamer, who may also be fired, you only get hired to soon be fired.
He's not getting fired.
Let's move on to
Ole Miss and Ole Miss and Oklahoma. I think we have an Oklahoma board here to help us out with the loss to the Sooners. Sooners fans are calling for it. Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah, Sooner Recruiter 1030 says that Oklahoma needs to obviously fire Brett Venables. And here's the dream team. For head coach, Clark Lea. Or Georgia Tech's coach, obviously didn't want to do any research in order to find out who Georgia Tech's coach is, or USF's coach, didn't want to do research there. Offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr., or Liberty's OC, again, no idea.
Who that is.
Daytime shift lead at my local Chick-fil-A. Huh. Sky's the limit.
That's like in order of importance that they want, or is it just whichever one picks up the phone first? What do we think?
The way Chick-fil-A runs business, I don't know. That might be a pretty good thought.
can I ask a Chick-fil-A question for the group? On your chicken.
We're way out in left field. Why not ask a Chick-fil-A question?
Yeah, man,
all right. So on your chicken biscuit, is it grape jelly or is it honey?
Honey.
Maggie, thank you. Casey?
You Yankees are all crazy. It's grape jelly.
Joy?
I don't eat chicken biscuits.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't
Joy,
either.
That's like got to be the worst way to answer that question.
I eat chicken minis, and I dip them in chicken sauce, so all y'all are wrong.
That's the correct answer.
Rob, what do you think?
Thank you, Casey.
I'm not putting anything on my chicken biscuit. Are you kidding me?
It's honey. Thank you, Maggie. Look at Maggie and I win 2-0 for all of you folks. So
I'm not
putting actually put butter on it
biscuit.
Too.
Okay, we've had enough arguing about chicken biscuits and jobs and all of this. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss continue to win. Okay, let's look at the remainder of their schedule because Joy and I talked about this a few weeks ago about the possibility that we needed to go ahead and lock them into the playoff. So
they're losing the Egg Bowl.
Now next week, the Citadel, Florida,
Jeff Lovey's first one in the SEC,
the Egg Bowl.
The crazy stuff happens at the Egg Bowl, man.
In the Egg Bowl, and it's at Mississippi State, isn't it?
It's in Stark Vegas. It's in Stark Vegas. You see how well that works out for Texas this week.
Lane signed his new contract for his new job, so he won't even care.
Did you guys hear the rest of the conversation though? South Carolina, Citadel, Florida. Do we think they win those three?
Yes.
So they're not going to drop one. They're not going to do the choking thing this year. And it's going to come down to the Egg Bowl. So then it doesn't matter because if they lose the Egg Bowl, they're going to be a 2-loss SEC team. And they're going to get in anyway, right?
Okay, who are we assuming is going to the SEC championship?
That's a great question.
Because if one of these 2-loss teams gets in the SEC championship and takes a 3rd loss, we can pretend like that doesn't matter, but it does.
You ready, Joy? Come on, you'll like this answer, Joy, because you're a Georgia fan. Georgia and Alabama will find their way into the SEC championship.
I kind of agree with him. I said this last week. I think there's a real possibility. I think right now you have an argument for Texas A&M, but I just am not going to believe that until I see it. Like, they could still go, like, they could still have 3 losses.
Okay, say they don't, and the only loss they have is in Austin. They're a 1-loss team. So that would leave
Georgia's a 1-loss team.
Alabama
has no losses. Yep. And Georgia actually beat somebody on, like, Texas A&M.
Well, that's the thing. It's because they didn't – Texas A&M doesn't have to play Georgia or Alabama. There's no tiebreaker.
Yep. They have S- Georgia has SEC so pretty on this.
So it does change it a little bit more.
So what are you suggesting, Joy?
No, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm saying that there is this that like that I think is the misnomer that we really don't consider when we're locking teams into playoffs. Is like there is the possibility that a team that has multiple losses somehow gets in their championship game and drops another game and then like they get booted. Like it's happened before. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen to Ole Miss. This conversation came up because we're talking about the rest of Ole Miss schedule. I'm just saying like we've seen crazier things happen than that. So it does like there is cause for concern in terms of like who do we 100% lock in, because there's always the possibility that someone drops a championship game and that is the nail in their coffin of the playoffs.
I can say for a fact that if Georgia is playing Alabama in the championship game, Georgia will drop that game. So we can just write that down right now.
Speaking of Alabama, do we have any concerns about them moving forward, or did they kind of get that out of their system yesterday with a close win to South Carolina? Is that kind of the close call that they're going to have, and then they're going to go back to picking up steam and rolling over people?
Who else? I mean, they're going to curb stomp the you know what out of LSU, and then who else do they have on their schedule?
That's easy. Auburn. We go to the handy-dandy spreadsheet. Oh. We go to the handy-dandy spreadsheet always.
Pull it up.
To discover Oklahoma. Who they have on the rest of the
schedule. Oklahoma and Alabama. Oklahoma goes to Alabama.
Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, Auburn.
Okay, yeah, they're, I mean.
At Jordan Hare.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan.
I don't think it matters.
Hugh has canceled out the Jordan Hare magic, so it doesn't exist anymore. So, yeah, no, I mean, they're, yeah, I would.
You're going to skate in, right?
To get to Rob's original question, because I care about my host and his original question, I would never
answer his questions.
Says the person that asked us to play biscuits for me.
He answers every question that I ask. It really keeps us right in the pocket of where we want to go. That's right.
Where we need. How do we feel about Brent Venables and John Mateer? Because if we were having this conversation a month ago, like we were putting them in Atlanta.
And I was about to go there because here's the thing that was really impressive to me yesterday.
That's why we're there.
And I'll tie this together with Ole Miss. Is Mateer was not able to get out and go at all yesterday. Anytime he broke free from one tackle and tried to scramble, they pinned him up so quickly. There was multiple defenders in the backfield, most of the time from the front four. And so when he was scrambling around, there was two plays where he sidearmed it. And he got it to somebody breaking across the field, and they were behind the safeties, and they just went the length of the field to score a touchdown early in the first half. And that was what really kept them in the game. But as it got into the second half, and I guess Pete Golding adjusted, I was kind of getting ready to go into the stadium at that point. But it looked like from going back and rewatching a little bit today that there were some adjustments made where they weren't allowing some of these guys to get behind them, and the pass rush just continued to pick up steam as the game went on. That's – A concern for the Mateer, who I will continue to say, and we've said it all year, and he's already had surgery midseason. The amount of hits that he takes, the number of times that he runs the ball, and the number of times that he scrambles around and gets hit in the backfield, it is not sustainable. There is no way this guy, he's already not healthy, and so he's less effective than what they wanted him to be. So there's the answer to half of your question, Craig. There's no way that he continues. I don't think – I'm not wishing any ill on anybody. I just don't see how it's possible. We've never seen somebody go at this rate, get pummeled at this rate, and make it through the whole season and be as effective as they set out to be, especially when you have a dual threat guy like that.
Yeah, and, well, you look at it, and the biggest question we had about Oklahoma coming into the season was that offensive line. And that, was that to be honest, was glaring, and that's going to be glaring against Alabama because Alabama's front is scary. As I found out the hard way. But, you know, Mississippi, you know, I don't know what Pete Golding did over the break, because Georgia, they couldn't do anything to stop Georgia last weekend in Athens. But they looked on point. They let up two big plays. That's what made that game a hell of a lot closer than it should have been. But it really brings into question of, is Brent Venables really going to be the guy right for the job? Not saying Joe Castiglione is going to move on from him, but you've got a new athletic director coming into Norman at the end of this college football season. And I think Brent Venables, all eyes are going to be on him. And maybe we're going to look at what Eric Morse is doing down in Texas, at North Texas, and say, maybe can we bring the air raid back to Oklahoma?
are we clear cut at this point that it's Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Ole Miss at the top of this league? Is anybody gonna push back on me when we say those four teams? So those are the four that we. What'd you say?
I think that's where it stops for the playoff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the other teams in consideration right now would obviously be Missouri, still a factor, and obviously Vanderbilt after the win yesterday. And so you still have kind of a six team race. Is that where we're at?
Texas. I think that
Oklahoma is out. Oklahoma and Texas are out.
Isn't Texas statistically still in?
If you're putting in Missouri and Vanderbilt, then Oklahoma and Texas should still be both in there in that conversation. Hang on, I go on.
I agree, but also realistically looking at Oklahoma's schedule, it's just a lot more difficult than Vanderbilt's schedule. So yes, you're technically right that they're still in it, but I don't see how they get out of that schedule unscathed.
I know you said it before, but does Vandy beat Tennessee?
Oh, that's true. That's who we forgot. That's the one that we left out. Yeah.
I almost just said that, but I was like,
wow. What a shock. The Gamecock left out the ball guy.
Yeah, not
I
at did. Tennessee.
I left him out.
Well, you know, that's Oklahoma's matchup this week as well.
That'll be fun, I think. That's in Knoxville.
That could get them, you know, that could be a loss for the Vols there, and then they're out of the discussion anyway.
The question is, how are they going to, like, react to losing that next game? Like, because last year you watched Oklahoma, and they came out and they pummeled Alabama out of kind of nowhere, but they pretty much fell off after that. And teams often do that. You can see Arkansas when they lose those first games at the beginning of the season, they just kind of give up. So it's kind of how are those teams going to react after they get that second loss?
Yeah, and that Tennessee offense is, I mean, I think to me, they're one of the top offenses in the SEC. To me, I think they're going to be able to move the ball against Oklahoma. So to me, this is maybe a shootout, but to me, I think Tennessee takes care of business, especially being at Knoxville. I believe that game's at night, is it not? Is it a 6:30 kick, Rep?
Sorry, give me that again.
Is the Tennessee Oklahoma game a 6:30 kick?
I'm actually, hang on, I can tell you. I have it pulled up right here next to us.
I thought you'd have it on your sheet.
I don't have the times on my sheet. I have it on the tab next
to it. It's 6:30. Yes. Yeah. Well,
thank you, somebody, for being faster than me.
Don't worry, Maggie. We use the true time here at 6:30 Central.
Yeah, it's the best time zone. Everybody knows it.
No, we do not, actually. Craig does for some unknown reason.
It annoys my host.
Yeah, all right, there you have it.
56.
Shout out to Maggie Johnson for being here with us. And also, Joy is here live and in the flesh, not just on a pre-recorded video. So thank you, ladies, for being here. We look forward to seeing both of you more as we move forward in the season. Joy, as you continue to travel around, we will obviously continue to be there with you. Maggie, we'll see what happens with the Tigers, and we may have a reason to bring you back in and have another important discussion about what's happening, whether it is a playoff run or a head coaching search. You know, we'll see which one it is. But either way, we appreciate it. We will be right back on SEC Sunday Night as we close out with It Just Means More, Genius.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team!
Oh, man! The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, We believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this, when you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this, when no one's in a hurry. There'll be days.
To SEC Sunday Night here live on the Chief Sports Network. I'm Rob Williams. We have Craig McMichael and, of course, our friend and esteemed producer of the Message Board Genius Podcast, Casey Cregan, is with us as always as we get ready for our favorite segment, It Just Means More Genius. Another shout-out to Maggie Johnson, to Daily Joy for being here with us, of SEC Pretty and Mizzou. That's who. We've had a lot to talk about tonight, boys. Brian Kelly has been fired at LSU just as we got on the air. What a night. We've had what a day yesterday. A lot to break down. Casey has been doing research on ACC, Big 12, Big 10 teams getting into the playoff.
Who's your team? Come on, Casey. Who's your
ACC? I don't know. I have too many. I have too many. So I'm going to go.
You have like one. All you need is one.
And I'm going to say that we need to be a 32-team playoff. No, I mean, the schedule, you know, crazy ACC down the stretch, but I think Georgia Tech, Miami, and Virginia all have a path to get there.
Is who's okay, by the way? That was quite the nail biter.
They're gonna get the Calgary.
Is anybody checked on him?
He's okay. He's alive. But yeah, I don't know if you can keep doing that to that old man, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we agree that Miami's got another clunker in them?
But to who? SMU, that's Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, maybe
they're going to lose in Dallas. They're going to lose in Dallas this week.
Not, I would have said maybe until I watched SMU play yesterday.
You want a bad chicken biscuit?
Yep. Extra.
As long as you're bringing the great jelly. All right. One thing that I want to get to here with Casey as well before we jump into the boards is Tony Vitello leaves Tennessee, take the job as the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. I think this is great for college baseball. That's my two cents. Because I think that the game of college baseball needs to be more elevated. We need more eyeballs on it. And this idea that maybe MLB teams are going to now go and try to dip into the college ranks and pull a coach. I think a lot of teams have tried a lot of different strategies when it comes to hiring at the professional level. We tried the former player route, tried kind of the old school guys. It's this new wave of baseball. That Tony Vitello kind of represents a little bit too. And I think that reaching down into college baseball, if this becomes a thing, if he can go up there and have success and this becomes a trend, then I think you see some parallels that you see in, especially in the football world, but even in the basketball world as well, where you kind of get a little more connectivity between college and professional. Any thoughts, Casey?
Yeah, it felt like there was a barrier between professional baseball and college baseball. And Tony Vitello, probably, whether you like him or not, probably, you just said it, probably the right guy to be the first guy. I think you have a single guy, loves baseball, really pours into his players. His players love him. They take on his personality. Now you're going to have to deal with, you know, guys making $40 million a year out there in San Francisco, but I bet he connects with those guys as well. maybe got a little taste of it from NIL too. And Tennessee obviously spent some money to get rosters and steal players from Clemson and other places. But I really like this because that barrier is kind of, it really truly feels like it's down now. And if you were a head coach at a top head coach in college, you were never thought to go, or if you were going, you were going to start in Double A somewhere. Now Vitello goes to the top job in San Francisco. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think this is great. I think Tennessee's going to be okay too. Hiring who they hired, their top assistant, their recruiting coordinator, their guy who gets all these guys in. I think they're going to be just fine.
Is that the guy who stole the Clemson guys?
Yeah, probably. It was just one Clemson guy, but
so like, right. What is it about? So what is it about Vitello? Is he like a data analytics guy? Is it just relationships? Is it all of the above?
The way he comes across is he's a relationship guy, but he's a baseball guy, right? Young,
yeah,
energetic.
Yeah, he's got an attitude. Buster Posey, the general manager out there.
There's an attitude.
Yeah,
and there's just kind of this, I don't care what you think about me. We're going to do it our way type of attitude, and I think that guys like and when that becomes a winning attitude, guys like that. Yep. All right, it just means more genius. Get your readers on, Casey. It's time to knock down a few boards here. Let's start here again with the Sooners.
All right. Our friend Dan says he has multiple N's in his name. BV, if you had any real love for Oklahoma, you would resign and walk away. Thank you for your service, but time has come for a new direction. And that's just a healthy, honest take. No hard feelings, just real talk, man.
Yeah,
I think this is the conversation for 2026. I don't think this is the coaching carousel you want if you're Oklahoma and you're, you know, with Joe Castiglione going out, as I said earlier, I don't think this is the time, but I do have to wonder whether or not, you know, Brent was looking fantastic. They look like a different Oklahoma losing to Texas than that loss yesterday to Ole Miss where they didn't look competitive. You have to wonder, is Brent really going to be the right choice there?
Yeah, I don't think you can pull the trigger this early. Speaking of triggers,
you would not pull it.
The difference.
This was my favorite one of the ones that MBG put out this weekend. He said, BK era is officially over. CB Tellus says, what's the difference between $55 million and $45 million? Pull the trigger. I mean, he's got a point. When you're spending other people's money, you know, what is the difference between 55 and 45?
Yeah.
10 million. Down votes are the people who need to like donate money or something like that, who like think that the $10 million is going to make a difference.
Yeah. Those $4. We had a post a couple years ago about Texas A&M passing a hat at the stadium.
Where does he go realistically? Like
BK?
He's not toxic. And like, I mean,
he fits out in California.
I agree.
If he wants to coach, he can have that job, I bet.
Can he have
Yeah, and now it looks completely different now, Craig, because last week when you proposed this, I would have said Penn State should have been the exit strategy. Yeah. But the trajectory of LSU and the way that it just did that nosedive and he got fired, I think now UCLA is a more realistic landing spot than Penn State. We'll see.
Okay, real question. Does Tony fire me from last word if Brian Kelly gets hired from UCLA?
No, but that would be hilarious. And speaking of getting fired, here's one for MVG from Columbia.
Bird Dog Big Spur says fire everyone. Yeah, we saw this a little bit yesterday, but what a fight. And as Shane Beamer always says, they fought their tails off. They did.
Yeah, you know. Yesterday feels a little different when he says that. I think there's games like last week against Oklahoma when you say that they fought their tails off and there's not really any rhyme or reason the way things happen or go down. But yesterday, in a very competitive game with Alabama, you can realistically say they did fight their tails off. And
one play away, if Lenoris doesn't fumble, you're going in for a field goal attempt.
So Andy Staples had an interesting question. He said, you know, DJ Lagway and Arch Manning have gotten plenty of smoke this year for not living up to the hype. And he said he feels like Lenoris has gotten a free pass this year. He said that Lenoris has gotten more locally than on the national scene. Do you think that's fair? I'm gonna turn that one to you.
Yes, because I was just about to say he's not gotten a pass around here,
right?
In the state of South Carolina, I do think nationally he's gotten a pass, but even on Gamecock like focused shows, he has not gotten a pass because there's been a clear something missing from his game is the way that I'll say it. There's been times when he has not seen things developing downfield. There's been times when he's tried to make too much happen. You know, PFF released a stat this past week that he has more broken tackles than any quarterback in the Power Four. And we know that that is a strong suit of his. And there were times yesterday against Alabama where we saw it on display. But alongside that, going into the game yesterday, he had lost over 230 yards in sack yardage through seven games. And so if you – I'm not sure exactly what the yardage was yesterday. I haven't sat down to add those things up. But if you add all of that together, you know, he's trending to be well over 300 yards lost, probably, you know, closer to 350, 375 if he continued on this astronomical rate of losing. I think I can make a play here because he makes plays more than anybody else when he's under duress. I'm really interested to see as we look matchups down the road, and you'll hear me say this for any of you who are frequent flyers on the Chief Sports Network, and you see me on Wednesdays on Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show. One of the things that I'm going to say is watching that game between Ole Miss and Oklahoma yesterday, I made the point, Craig, a few minutes ago, that they hemmed in John Mateer incredibly. Every time he tried to scramble, there was three and four bodies ready to put him on the ground. There has to be a game plan to get Lenore Sellers out on the edge to get rid of the ball. And that was a lot of what it looked like yesterday against Alabama. But there cannot be dropbacks where he's going to scramble, or I fear that Ole Miss will have a similar feast against the Gamecocks. All right, let's move on.
Oh, heartbreaker.
Is that why you wore the shirt today, Casey?
It was complete coincidence. Our friend Bulldog Bruce from Maroon and White Daily says, changing our tagline to Fail State. I'm copywriting it right now. Ugh, what a game.
You know, I've been waiting all year to put on that Mississippi State hat that's sitting in my hat basket. And I've picked them multiple times. I picked them this week to get the upset against Texas. And I was yelling it from the rooftops in Williams-Brice yesterday that I was going to be right. And unfortunately, that didn't work out for me.
All three of us. I called it in our text message yesterday. I said, They are putting it on Texas. And they were.
I did. I wanted to pick them. At the last minute, I went to Texas. Have you had Seeking a Strange Brew Coffee, which we reached out to 2 years ago to be a sponsor, which, you know, they could come back by now.
Anytime.
Have you had the blueberry cobbler coffee from Strange Brew, Casey, when you were out in Stark Vegas?
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, that's right.
Is that real? Are you trolling?
No. The next cup of coffee I drink will be my first ever.
I have not had it, Craig, but I do enjoy blueberry cobbler coffee in general. I have some from New England Coffee right now. It's delicious. That's what I'm
drinking.
It's
actually what I'm drinking, Robert.
I've had a lot of draft beers.
It's beer granola on you.
Yeah, thank you. We try to get granola in there. All right, one more board and we're going
to
get out of here.
Hang on. Before we go to Auburn, we have to talk about Jeff Lemme.
Go ahead.
The guy?
He is the guy. Why isn't he?
Oh, he is the guy.
They looked competent yesterday until punt return.
They don't have personnel.
You 31 That's straight issue. Points in the last 9 minutes plus overtime?
Yeah, you can only ask your defense to do so much.
They have been competitive over and over and
that's
over.
The second time that's happened this year where they were.
Why are you toying with the Starkville folks? Like, he's not it.
But who is
Andrew McCleary? Andrew McCleary and I were texting about this yesterday.
We've been to Starkville.
I have been to Starkville.
You can't get there from here. It's in the middle of God's country. Like, literally, where do you fly into? Memphis and then drive 94 hours?
I flew into Memphis. Or is it Memphis or Birmingham?
Yeah, and you're still driving at least 2.5 to 3 hours either way.
Like, it was a long ride. It was a long ride home after the night game. I got in at like 3 o'clock in the morning to my hotel in Memphis.
Exactly.
You fly into Tuscaloosa and drive 1 hour and 40 minutes, but like, yeah, no, you're not getting somebody enormous there.
Mike Leach was not enormous.
it takes a special soul like Mike Leach to, you know.
Sly Kroom was okay.
You know who would go there? Jimbo Fisher would go there.
Oh,
that could be fun.
It would be fun.
That could be fun. We could have some fun.
Who would that be fun for? Not anyone in Sparkville. No, it would not be fun for
you. Know what, though? I like Jeff Levy. I think he's doing a great job.
Speaking of which, how was your Waffle House carryout yesterday, Rob?
It was delicious outside of the fact that I ordered a hash brown bowl and they were out of hash browns and just subbed it for grits and didn't tell me.
How does Waffle House run out of
chocolate milk?
And icing my chocolate milk was a bad look. All right. Speaking of bad looks, let's go to the Plains.
Speaking of bad looks, we're ordering takeout from Waffle House.
Hooter 80 from the Auburn Sports says, a win that truly feels like a loss. Scratch any hope of Auburn moving forward away from Hugh. He will reach six wins. Ho-hum. So is Auburn going to win six games, guys?
Well, let's make our way over to the handy-dandy spreadsheet.
What's the record right now, Rob?
And let's look at it. How do you not know the record right now, Craig?
Yeah, how do you not know it off the top of your head, Craig?
Because I don't think about Auburn. I think about Auburn less than I think about Texas A&M.
They're 4-4.
They're 4-4.
1-4 in the conference.
So they've got to win. They got to win two more.
Kentucky, yeah. Vanderbilt, they're gonna make it. Mercer, they have Kentucky, Alabama.
Yeah. Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mercer, Alabama. They're going to beat Kentucky and Mercer.
No, remember last year against Kentucky, he forgot to run the ball?
He won't do that again.
Not.
Have you seen this Kentucky team? No, you haven't. That was the whole point of that segment. You can score. I had a conversation with a Tennessee fan earlier in the week who was concerned about Kentucky, and I said, you can score 50 on them, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, but do you think Auburn can score 50 on them? Because Kentucky did score 55 points on Tennessee.
Cam Pullman's good for 21 by himself against Kentucky, and Auburn's defense isn't that bad.
Okay.
Where does Cam Coleman transfer to if Hugh gets fired?
That's a great Alabama.
Kirby was already recruiting him after the game right there, buddy.
That's also a good point.
Yeah.
We have it on. Hey,
watch out for burners, everybody. Rob thought Georgia was losing a quarterback earlier today.
We've been told that those after-game player handshakes are a common way of recruiting legally.
As the young folks say, we're just conversating. We're just conversating.
All right, listen here, everybody. This has been SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I got two things to let you know about before we get out of here. Number one, we have giveaways upcoming. So make sure that you're here next week. We're going to be able to have some stuff up here where you can get some free stuff just from showing up and listening to SEC Sunday Night. And secondly, we want to let you know that we are now on podcast. So you can go to Apple or Spotify and find us. Just type in SEC Sunday Night and we'll come right up. So if you don't have a chance to watch us and you just want to listen as you're working out, you're on your run, you're driving to work, whatever the case may be, jump on there and listen to it on podcast form. But just remember, if you're listening on podcast, you don't get to see my beautiful face. And if I may or may not have my shirt on, shout out to that deep sea fishing trip that I was on when Joy called. And also shout out to my dad who pulled in this Wahoo. It's going to be great.
Holy mackerel.
When we get to eat it pretty soon. All right, everybody. This has been SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network, and we will see you next time.